Welcome to part two of our series, Run. And so glad to have you here as we take this run together. I want to take a moment to welcome all those that are just now joining us online. Can you welcome those that are here? You may be watching live or you may be watching it later. We're glad to have you either way. Really excited again about things that are happening around here. I just mentioned small groups. You heard it again there in the in our Crosspoint news. But let me again accentuate that. Encourage you to get into a small group. One thing that I would like to say is that we are not a church with small groups. We are a church of small groups. And so be sure and connect with Pastor Steve Guptill, our small groups pastor, after service. He'd love to share with you opportunities that are there. And let me say again, I mentioned this last week, but for those of you that are watching online, you do not have to be a member of Crosspoint. In fact, if you're sitting here, you're not a member. That's okay. You can join a small group. That may be indeed your next step. We believe in helping people discover what their next step is. That's a step for everybody right there if you're not in a small group. But if you're watching online and you're not even attending here, but you're in the area, we would love to have you connect with our small groups as well. And you can go online at crosspointworshipcenter.com and find a directory there. You can call the small group leader, have a conversation, interview them if you like, you know, check it out, whatever, and get connected. We'd love to have you. And so really want to encourage that. This is the opportune time to get connected. I believe relationships are so valuable. We are built and made for relationship, right? I mean, that's the way God made us. Of all the things God made, he said there was only one thing that was not good, and that was not good that man should be alone. So we need each other. We do this together. We do life together. Life, real life change happens in the context of authentic, genuine relationships. And you want some healthy, good relationships that'll really help you and grow you. Get into a life-giving small group. Can I get a amen right there? Come on, you can do better than that. All right, I believe if you're going to do it right, right? Okay, so anyway, just want to encourage you with that. Real eager to get into this part of this installment of this series today. Again, we're in the series that we've entitled Run. And let me just start right off with our theme verse for this series. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There are worship in there in your worship guide. There are some message notes that you can follow along, fill in some blanks there. Also, if you're watching online, those are available online that you can download and follow along with us. But look at this verse. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs. We're all in this thing. We're running. You're on a journey, whether you realize it or not. You have a destiny, whether you realize it or not. That's just the fact that we're in this thing we call the human race. Some people call it the rat race, but we're in this race, okay, and everyone runs, but look at this, but only one person gets the prize. So there's a right way and a wrong way to run this race. There's a way that you can lose, there's a way that you can win, and it says, so run to win. And then it says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. It's a prize they're running for, and they're working and training and disciplining themselves to get this prize, but even that prize is going to fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize, so it's a race worth running. So I run with purpose, and every step, I'm not just shadow boxing. So I'm not here to waste my time. There's something, this matters, this race matters. There's a purpose for it. There's a reason in what we're going through. There's a goal at the end of it all. There is a finish line. So we want to run with purpose. And he says, I want to run with purpose in every step. So step by step, we're moving towards the goal. And so we're talking about that in this series, the steps that we're taking as we're running to win. We're not just wasting time again. We're not running in circles, but we are running to win. And so last week we talked about this point, and that is we are called to run with passion, to run with passion. And we asked the question, what are you running to? If you missed that, be sure and go online. Those messages are archived there, and that you can listen to that again. But we asked this question, what are you running to? And we encourage you that if you really want to run to something that's worth running to in your life, you're going to be running to God. And so the goal there is that we know God. That's our first step in running to win, is to run with passion to a God who really passionately loves you, right? Isn't that awesome? But God is more in love with you than you are with him. It's kind of hard to get our mind wrapped around that. Even Paul grasped with that. He said, oh, if I could understand and help you to understand the height and the depth and the width and the breadth. I mean, and he was a guy that was good with words, and he couldn't even really put words to it. But God is passionately in love with you. He's concerned about every detail of your life. I remember some years ago, I was sharing, and I was saying, you know, we don't have to be silly with this. You know, God doesn't care what kind of socks you put on. I mean, just put your socks on and go to class, you know. I mean, just, you know, it don't be ridiculous. Had somebody after service come up to me and say, Pastor, I think he is concerned about what socks you're putting on. I really do. Because he's concerned about every detail of your life. If you look at the depths of the ocean and the far reaching of the galaxy that we know, and you look at all the details and intricacies, and God did all of that, and yet this planet in the midst of all that is so unique to have the intelligent life form we have, doesn't it stand to reason that God make us be concerned about what socks you're putting on at the beginning of the day? I know that may be a little much there, but I'm trying to just stress a point with a little bit of humor there. But God is concerned about every detail of your life. He's passionately in love with you. So we encourage you in step one, run with passion. Run with passion. Well, today is a second step in running to win that I want to take us to. And the point of this message is this, and that is not only are we to run with passion, but we need to run with perseverance. Run with perseverance. We are running to win. And so how do we do that? If we're going to finish this race, if we're going to run to win, we need perseverance to make it across the finish line. So write this down. To run, I must finish the race. Or to win, excuse me. To win, I must finish the race. If you want to win. Obviously, you can't be a quitter. You can't get there, can't go halfway and bail out. So you need to finish the race. And Ecclesiastes gives us a little insight about the running of this race. Ecclesiastes says the race is not to the swift. I heard a song one time that said it's not the one who runs the swiftest or the one who shines for a day, but it's the one who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And that brings in another verse in Matthew 10 and 22 that says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So it's not, you know, we know the story of the tortoise and the hare, right? Right? The tortoise wins the race every time you read that book, every time, right? It's the one that's consistently, but that's running, that's going to stay in there, that perseveres and not distracted off on rabbit trails, right? But stays the course and perseveres. Well, the Bible really brings that out. The race is not to the swift, but it's to the one who endures to the end. And that word endure there in that scripture is a Greek word that's hupomone, which means to endure or to persevere. And so the word persevere is also the definition of that word. It's the word endure, or it can be persevere. And there's two parts to that word. The first part of that, hupo, means to be under something. And the second part of that, mone, it means to remain, that you're going to remain. So you remain. So you're under pressure, or there's something that you're under, but you're going to remain. You have the strength to endure, to be steadfast. It also means to patiently wait for. So we're in this place, and there may be something we're under, but we have the ability to remain in that place and remain in that position of being under that thing, but yet we're remaining. And see, something happens in the midst of that, and that is that God, in that place of enduring, God will develop something within you. He's going to develop a virtue inside of you, something inside of you that's going to cause you to outlast, that's going to cause you to keep running, that's going to cause you to continue to make it, that's going to cause you to continue to go on until the point that you finish the race. Right? He's going to put something inside of you. It's like that Ever Ready Bunny. Anybody remember the Ever Ready Bunny? You think he's through. You think it's over. And then it's like, still going. Right? You know? Right? So God puts something inside of you. It's not an Ever Ready battery. We're going to talk about it. But God puts something inside of you to cause you to persevere, that's going to bring you to a place of winning in life, amen, and winning in terms of eternity. Perseverance. It's something that God develops inside of you. So that being said, it is more than just a decision. And decisions are good. Decisions are great. And while that's good, and though this thing of perseverance does involve your participation, it requires more than just that. It's more than just this yourself. Now, let me just park right there and say that perseverance, it does involve yourself. It involves actually something we call self-discipline, okay? There's some self-discipline in that. In fact, in our theme verse, if you were to read on, Paul goes on likening this thing as a race, and he says in verse 27, he says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do. So there's some discipline involved. He says, otherwise I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself just become disqualified from winning the prize. So there's some discipline involved. And a lot of runners, any runners in the house, you know that running takes some discipline. It takes some conditioning. It takes some practice, some building up, some stamina, especially distance runners. I remember one day I was waiting for one of my sons to get through with soccer practice. And I'm sitting there in the car, and I'm watching, and at the end of it all, they're having to run some laps around the track. And there's this one kid, one of my son's classmates, that was, and if I can describe this, let's see if I can hold this mic and do this, but here was the crowd. Okay, here started out the soccer team, and they're running the track. And here comes this guy named Kevin. And he comes out. And here's the track, and they're moving, and he's out from the pack, and he goes back around, and he laps the pack, and he comes back around, and he laps the pack, and they're still trying to get around one time, and he's, I don't know how many times he'd lapped them as they're trying to run the laps. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there with my jaw dropped open. And this guy had, like, good posture. I mean, he didn't even look like he was winded, and the other guys were just like, okay, I'm trying to get there, you know, some of them were lagging behind. That would have been me. Hello, you know, I might not have even been on the track, you know, but I'm just saying, I've been over there eating some Twinkies or something, you know, just watching them, but he was like running, man, and he just, I mean, those legs were just like a machine. I thought, boy, this guy, but he had disciplined himself, but I believe it was possibly even more than self-discipline. It could be also that there was something else going on as well. Listen, when there's a discipline going on, you're going to grow to a level of maturity as a runner when there's discipline. Okay, you're going to grow to a level of maturity. And he was a mature runner, a lot more mature than some of those other guys. So there was some self-discipline. But something else takes place, and that is it involves not only self-discipline, but there also is involved in this thing some God discipline. You might want to write that down. That's not in your notes here, but write that one down. There's self-discipline, but then there's also some God discipline. Because, you see, there's never enough of what just we can do. It takes more than what we can do. Anybody know that in life? And so God will bring opportunities to you for you to grow and for you to develop this thing called perseverance. God's going to bring some things in your life. It's some God-disciplined things that are going to add into your life some areas that it's going to help you develop this thing of perseverance. In fact, let me show it to you. This is not in your notes, but just jot these locations down. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, not only so, but we also glory in sufferings. Now, that glory in our sufferings. Now, that right there, you go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Who takes joy and glorying and finding something to see good about suffering? Well, he says, because we know that suffering produces something. God's going to bring some opportunities. We might call it suffering, but in God's eyes, it might be opportunities, right? So he's going to, because we know that suffering produces, look at this, perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love, look at this, something happening on the inside, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So God's in the mix, okay? God's working all these things together. We just sung about it a moment ago. To our good, right? So God's working all this. That word perseverance there in that text in the King James, it words it as patience. Patience. He works patience within us. We're patient. You know? We're going to hang in there. We've got patience. And I love the way the Message puts this verse because it calls it passionate. We just talked about passion last week, being passionate, running with passion. But this actually takes it to the next, it puts those two together and calls it passionate patience. Let me show this to you in the Message, sort of a paraphrase of this. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. And some of you may be hemmed in with troubles right now. It's all around. You don't know what to do. Well, we're hemmed in with these troubles, but we're going to continue to praise God in the midst of that because we know how troubles can develop, look at this, passionate patience in us. Don't you love it? And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. So we're not just bogged down. We're moving forward. We're running in alert expectancy, such as this. We're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, I love this. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. So though we're being pressed on the outside, come on, there's something quite different than that happening on the inside. Amen. So while everything's going wrong, maybe on the outside, we're distressed, yet we're being renewed, day by day on the inside because God's at work within us and working those things together for our good. Philippians, Paul says this. Paul has a lot to say about this topic. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So the guy who started this race, right, God who authored this race, the author and the finisher of this, right? He's going to complete it. He's going to finish it in you until the day of Christ Jesus. The problem is there's a danger in not finishing the race or disqualifying, which we just read about. And so Galatians 5 and 7 says this, you were running the race well. And then he says, but who has held you back from following the truth? Who has held you back from following the truth? King James says, who has hindered you? What's hindering you? I love the NLT. It says, who cut you off? You know, you're running, somebody just come and cut you off. You ever seen runners like that? Something happens, they get tripped up, they fall and don't make it. But who has done this to you? And then, and that word hindered, it means to beat back or to be obstructed, an obstructive road or a ditch in the path. So last week I asked this question. I said, what are you running to? Well, this week I want to ask a question because I think this relates to this scene here of being hindered in our race. I want to ask the question, and that is, ask yourself this question. What am I running from? What am I running from? Because it may seem like a strange question, but the Lord dealt with me on this. I think sometimes the reason we're hindered in moving forward is not what lies ahead. It's not the daunting task that lies ahead many times, but oftentimes it's because of what is behind us, the territory that we have already covered. Sometimes it's that thing that's lingering or attached itself onto us that we can't seem to shake, and it's hindering us or pulling us down, and it's hindering us from moving forward. So sometimes it's not over the discouragement of what lies ahead, but man, look how far I've gone. I'm just not seeing anything and nothing's happening. And so, but what we're doing, we're looking back at that instead of looking at the road which lies ahead. And when we're following Christ, folks, and I mean, really, when you're truly following Christ and doing this thing right, the load gets lighter and the way gets brighter as you go. All right? And what makes it heavy and bogging you down is not what lies ahead, but what oftentimes lies behind. So I want us to look at this for a moment. What are you running from? There's some things that could possibly be the case. And one of those is this, and that's people. People. Could you be running from people? Interesting what Paul says there. He didn't say what's held you back. He says who. Interesting. Who? Many times it's a who. So perhaps it's a relationship, or there's a conflict, or there's been a wound or a hurt, or something happened in a relationship, and that thing is still under your skin. You still haven't dealt with it. Still haven't let it go, but that person, they're way back there, but they're really not. They're still right there beside you. You're carrying them around with you. They're in your head. They're messing with you, right? You got somebody there. That's something you haven't let go, something maybe something you haven't resolved in a conflict situation, and it hasn't been taken care of. So it could be a who, and there's conflict with people. And then there's this other area that things we're running from. It kind of relates to all this, and that's the past, just simply the past, running from the past. And the past hinders us. Sometimes it's what has happened in the past, and maybe there's past failure, and that haunts us, and we feel like we're a failure, and we've let that thing, that situation, whatever that is in the past, mark us, and we've claimed that as our identity, that I'm just a failure, and that's who I am. Instead of it being an event, it now becomes who you are, and it's the past. Sometimes it's not just the failure of the past, but many times it's the success of the past that hinders us. And strange as that may seem, you'd think that would kind of encourage us to move forward, but sometimes we just live in the shadow of the success of the past. You know, the good old days. I've heard people talk about the good old days. My parents talk about the good old days, and I'm thinking, you know, and I don't know if it sounds so good or not. I like running water. I like going to the bathroom inside the house instead of the outhouse. I like not having to walk. How many miles was it you guys walked in the snow, you know, to go to school one way, you know, with with cardboard shoes, you know. And But if we're not careful, we can glorify the past, and we make it better than it was. You know, even Israel, when it came out of Egypt, they looked back and they were thinking, some of them wanted to go back to the past. I'm thinking, no, you don't. You were slaves back there. Don't let that pull you back. We glorify the past. I got to say, here at this church, we're in the process. Well, we're not just in the process. We've already leveled the house that we started this church in. And while there's a lot of great memories there and a lot of great people came in and out of our doors, and I cherish all that and I thank God for that and I build upon that. But at the same time, you got to be careful, because if you're not careful, you can live in the shadow of the past. I have people come to me, boy, I remember when it was full and we had people in the kitchen trying to see into the living room, which we called the sanctuary. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we had place packed full, and they'd tell me the number. And I'd say, yeah, really? Really? Yeah, I can remember one or two days like that. But you know what I also remember? I remember days when you weren't there, the person telling me this, and there was hardly anybody else there. And I remember, like I told you last week, me preaching to just my mother-in-law, her and me, and the whole place. I remember the day when we were looking out the window, and you know, and I'm thinking, I'm going to run. And I wasn't going to run to God. I was just going to run. Just rid out of here, because, you know, there's those days where you could hardly stand up underneath it. You can hardly persevere underneath it because it's, you know. But I'm just saying, sometimes we got to be careful whether we look back to a failure or we look back to a success. That can be a hindrance in our life, the past. So we need to not get stuck in the past. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? And then there's another thing that we could be running from, and that's just simply, we'll just categorize this as problems. Problems. Anything that would just get us distracted and off course and get our eyes off of the goal. And we think, well, I could do something if it wasn't for that problem. I could get somewhere if it wasn't for that situation or that person or that past history or that problem. I could get down the road. But we just sung about it. It's in Romans chapter 8 that says that God's working all things, the good and the bad, together for our good. So when we know that, and our faith is based upon what God's word says, we know that no matter what it may look like, our God's in charge. Come on, give me a good amen right there, somebody. Amen? And so one of the keys of successfully winning the prize is to persevere, to endure, to stay on course, to allow God to take you through a process of developing you into one who will finish well and receive the prize. So we're talking about a self-discipline, but we're also talking about a God-discipline. But there's that word. There it is. The word is discipline. We could call it something that sounds a little more church-friendly. We could call it discipleship. How about that? Does that sound good? Discipleship. But either way, it's discipline. In the gym, anybody go to the gym? Okay, all y'all out there that go to gym? I know gym, but I don't go to gym. But anyway, you know, they say, there's a saying, and someone have it on their shirts, no pain, no gain, right? No pain, no gain. There's going to be a price to pay for freedom, you know? Now, we know that Jesus paid that price for us. But there's an involvement in us as well in appropriating that into our life. So that word discipline, it means that we need to, here's another word we don't like, but it's submit to discipline or discipleship so that when we're going through trouble, when we're going through these issues of people or the past or problems, that we'll stay the course. Because sometimes there's this fight or flight thing. We'd rather just fly or just abandon the race and say, well, this is just too much trouble. I'm going to quit now. I was talking to someone before church about this very thing, that sometimes people don't want to be discipled. That there's this carnal part of us, this nature part of us that wants to know it all and to be right. And if somebody comes up to them with an opposite opinion, it's like, oh my, can't deal with that. In fact, that's why some people have trouble going to counselors. You know, the idea of going to a counselor is that the counselor is going to tell you something you probably don't know or probably don't agree with. That does make sense, doesn't it? Otherwise, why would you need the counselor? If you go in there and you're both in agreement, I mean, they're really not helping you. They're actually going to tell you something that's going to hit you and go, hmm. And you're going to have to take a week or so and process that. It's going to have to mess with you, right? Well, the same thing is true with our relationship with God. There's going to be some things in our life, and He uses people in that process. We help each other. God puts us in the body to help each other. We're all in this together. Nobody has it together. There's not just, you know, one teacher and all students. Listen, we're all students, but God's put some of us as student teachers. Okay, servant leaders. I'm an under shepherd, but I'm still under, right? And so, but God uses us to be able to pour into other people and to teach each other and to receive from one another. And God speaks through His Word. It has to make sure it's in agreement with His Word. Okay, but God puts things in our life to be able to pour into us. And if you are one of those people that says, if I ever come to a point where I disagree and it doesn't fit my agenda and I'm out of here, I'm going to bail out of the race, I'm going to quit right here, I'm going to exercise a quit option, can I tell you that you're going to abandon some things that God wants to develop and do in your life that could never happen otherwise? When you just say, hey, I'm just, I just don't agree with that, so I'm just going to go another path. It may be that God puts you in that path, and it may not be comfortable in the moment, but it may be that God puts you in that path that He could grow something in you and develop something in you, and at the end of that development, it's going to produce some great joy, and it caused you to come to a place of winning in life and not failing in life. Amen? Does this make sense? So, I mean, I'm always telling people when they come to church, always, always have a teachable spirit. Always have a teachable spirit. I've got a teachable spirit. And may I always have a teachable spirit, I pray. And that's something I pray. God, let me always be teachable. Let me always learn. Let me always be corrected. Let me always be learning. Because, buddy, I don't have it all together. And guess what? You don't either. None of us do. So that being said, we need to remove this thing called the quit option, where we say, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to bail. I'm tired in this race. Hebrews chapter 10 says this. This is not in your notes, but let me give this to you. This is good. But we do not belong to those who shrink back. One translation says pull back. We don't turn. One translation says don't turn back. And are destroyed. We're not pulling back. We're not quitting. There's no quit option there. But to those who have faith and are saved. So we don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. One translation says faithful, that when we're faithful to Him, that God's going to see us through to a better place. Listen, you can know this in your marriage, right? In marriage, you may go through some things. Don't raise your hand on that. Anyway, you're going to go through some things, but you got to remove the quit option. You remove that at the altar, right? You're going to go through some things. But when you go through some things together, guess what happens? You know it. you're going to become stronger on the other side of that because you're going to understand each other even better. There's some times where in life you're going to go through some school of hard knocks, but if you just hang in there in that institution, you're going to get some education, and you're going to be able to outlast your temporary circumstances. You're going to develop some faithfulness, but that's what happens. You're going to develop some faithfulness, but here's what happens as you develop faithfulness, and you're full of faith no matter what in your life, no matter what comes, I'm full of faith. You're going to discover something phenomenal in that. Not only will you discover something about yourself and that, hey, now I'm faithful, you're going to discover something about our God, and you're going to discover great is His faithfulness. Amen. He is a faithful God, and He'll be there. I'm telling you, He'll be there when no one else is there, when all else has failed. Listen, on Christ the solid rock I stand, right? You're going to be there. And so you learn that. You learn that in marriage. You learn that in life. You learn that in school. You learn that even in church. In church, you learn it. By the way, church is just a fancy word for family. We're God's family. And we're in this thing together, and together we grow. And there's some times where, you know, iron sharpens iron, and you're gonna have some opportunities there for growing. But together we stay together and don't bail. Guess what? You learn something in that process that produces something when you stay together. We're gonna talk about that in part four about how we run with people. Okay, but we're gonna run together, and in that we're going to win the prize. So let me bring you to this question. In this, and that is, how do I run to win? So let's get down and let's break this down just a little bit for you today. How do I win? Paul brings us to a scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter 12 that actually gives us an outline for some things and a couple of locations I'm going to give you. And that in his teaching is just going to be an outline for us for just a few points here I want to share with you. He says this in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, he's describing the scene of a race. He says, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in that, he says a few things. The first thing he says is, let's throw off everything that hinders us. So, number one, write this down. Number one, to run this race well and to run it with perseverance, we must let go of unhealthy things. If you're going to run to win, number one, you got to let go of unhealthy things. And he says, so we throw off everything that hinders. That is not necessarily things that are quote unquote sin or sinful. There's some things, though, that can be a distraction that hinders us from our purpose and what God has called us to do and what God called us to be. I really don't think Twinkies are sin. I really don't. I don't think it's a sin to eat Twinkies. But if you're running a marathon the next day, you might want to eat some spaghetti and lay off the Twinkies. I'm just saying. Okay? So there's some things that we need to let go of. It may be some unhealthy relationships. It may be some other healthy things in your life that you say, I'm okay with this, but it may not be beneficial. Also, it may be damaging your witness to other people and causing them to fall, the ones that are running alongside of us. That's another week, okay? But let's let go of unhealthy things. Here's a second one. He goes on to say, not only that, but let go of sin. He does name sin. He doesn't call it a mistake. He calls it sin. And it's those things that entangle us, that separates us from God. So every day we need to pray that prayer that we pray that says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So God, search me. Examine me. See if there's any sin in my life. Anything that's hindering me in running this race well. Number three, run with perseverance. And that's what we're talking about today. Run with perseverance. It says, run with perseverance. The race marked out for us. So he says the race marked out for us. So each one of us have a unique kind of race to run. So I would encourage you, run your race. For some of you, it has to do with your gifting. We'll talk again more about that next week, but run your race. What kind of race are you in? What has God called you to do? Do it well and stay in the race with perseverance. Stay under. Allow God to develop that in you. And then number four, focus on Jesus. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. One translation says, the author and the finisher. I like that one. He's the one that just began it. He wrote it, and he's going to finish it. And so we're going to keep our eyes on him. And no matter who lets you down or what happens in life or what disappointments, you're going to keep your eyes on him. They say when you're planting a corn in a field, you see those guys that can lay those straight lines. They say you can't just be looking at where you left and right and draw a straight line. You got to mark something at the end of the road you're heading to. You got to put your eyes on it, and you got to go straight to the mark, right? Well, the same thing with our race with the Lord. We've got to keep on track. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. But I love what it goes on to say. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." So there was endurance there. There was perseverance there. He persevered. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So we look at him for inspiration, but here's what he did. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Now, that whole sentence doesn't quite make sense, does it? It says, he endured, it says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." So there's joy in there, there's enduring in there, and there's the cross. All that doesn't seem to go together, does it? But what he did, so what was it that caused him to go to the cross and endure that? Back up there. Back up. There was a joy set before him. A joy. So in other words, he wasn't just seeing the temporary cross. He wasn't seeing just that. Oh, that was very significant, because that's where there was a great exchange. And he took on himself all of our sins and all of our failures and all of our past and all of our problems and all of our people issues. Come on. Took all that on himself, laid that on the cross, and took that for us to give us his robe of righteousness, right? In exchange. Incredible. But something was able to get him through that place of being able to endure and stay under that and go through that. And it was a joy. And what was that joy? Come on, you're already there with me, aren't you? You're the joy. You're the joy. He looked beyond the cross and he saw you. There was a joy beyond that. There was a joy beyond that, and that joy was you. Now, I love it. So here's the example. So no matter what we're going through, God wanted to have a relationship with us. And so whatever we're going through, we're going to focus on that relationship, that God loves us and he cares about us. And no matter what it seems like, feels like, looks like, come on, God's with us. God's for us. He's in love with us, and we're in love with him. We have a relationship, and there's a joy in that relationship that's going to cause us to endure whatever we're going through, because we're looking beyond this. Amen? And by the way, you got to look beyond what's just in this temporary setting, in this earth. You got to look beyond to the eternal. You just have to have an eternal perspective. Because if in this life only we have hope, Paul said, remember, we are of all men most miserable. It's not just in this life. Your hope just is in this, but it's a hope, and that's what this perseverance helps develop, right? We read that, right? So so no matter what's happening around us, no matter what chaos, in the midst of the chaos, there's peace. There's a horrible storm, and we were praying for those that suffered with Hurricane Harvey, and we have some family in our church here that has family in Texas that lost everything. We're praying for them, and we're praying for those in the path of this next hurricane that's coming up through Florida. But when we look at that hurricane, in the midst of that, there's the eye of the storm, and there's a place of peace in the midst of that. Well, I want to tell you that God can put you in the eye of the storm, where everything around may be chaos, but in the midst of it all, you're having a party. Amen. And God's with you. And when it doesn't make sense, there's a peace that passes all understanding. And I just want to encourage you today, you can have that kind of peace. You can have that kind of peace. No matter what you're going through, you can have that kind of peace. Look at Philippians chapter 3 there in your notes. Now, I've given you 4 points there of how we're to run to win. Let me give you a couple more. He says, first of all, let go of unhealthy things, let go of sin, run with perseverance, and focus on Jesus. And then he gives us another location, another scripture here, that gives us a couple more points that you got to add. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, because there's something beyond what I'm going through, right? Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. See him running in that race, stretching to the goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, now look at this. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. There's one thing I do. What is that? And we're going to break it into two parts, but it's really the same thing. But he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So write this down. He says, you got to forget what is behind. So point number five in this list, let go of the past. Let go of the past. Now, it's going to take God to help you to do that. But again, he's involved in this process as well. It's self-discipline, but it's also God-discipline, okay? Let go of the past. He's designed a way where you can do that. But what that means is you might need to forgive some people. And forgiveness is a powerful thing. And yes, unforgiveness does hinder, because when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, how to connect with God, and he gave that Lord's Prayer that we know, there was only one thing that he highlighted out of that model prayer, and that was, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. So that's a pretty important one. So we've got to forgive other people. Can I tell you that it may not only just involve other people, but it may be involving yourself. You've got to also forgive yourself. Amen? Forgive yourself. You're a people too. So forgive yourself. And here's another one, and that's receive God's forgiveness. He's forgiven you, right? It's available. Forgiveness is available. It's simply by receiving. Nothing you can do to earn it or deserve it, right? It's simply a gift that he gives us of his forgiveness. And so he offers that us freely, unconditionally. We have to do that to others and as well, and to ourselves. No conditions attached to that. We're going to forgive. We're going to let go of the past. Can I tell you a great practical place that God, I believe, has designed for that to happen? We call around here small groups. It's in relationship. The Bible says, pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a process that happens there. There's a thing called the principle of iron sharpens iron. It's a place where you can find freedom, because when you get in relationship with other people, the mask can come down. You can get real with people. You can share with one another. You can help one another, pray with another, pour into each other, receive instructions from one another, discipleship from one another. Amen? So it's called the small group. The Bible describes it. It says that they worshiped in the temple, but they met and the ministry happened in house to house, in the small group setting, in relationship. And God designed it that way. He is the healer, yes, but he uses people to heal. He says, pray for one another that you may be healed. He uses people in that process. So I encourage you, one of the best ways to let go of the past is get into a small group and find some freedom there and connect with others. Is this good? Everybody in small groups say, amen. All right. Number six, let me give you this one. He not only says, I let go of the past, but he goes on to say, that I press on, I press forward. So point number six is press forward in faith. He says, I strain toward what is ahead. I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So he's moving forward. And that also is, when I say it, it's two parts, but it's all in one the same. It's really the key also to take care of the past. Because you don't get rid of the past from really running from the past. I started to title this installment, Running from the Past. You don't get rid of the past by running from it. You really get rid of the past by running to something else. Even athletes will tell you if they're going to achieve something that they, in any kind of athletic competition, they know that they cannot focus on the penalties of failure, but they must put in their mind the reward of success. And whatever is most current in your mind, that you're going to move towards. Now, that's a little psychology there, a little sports psychology, but I want to tell you there's a biblical principle there, and that is that we have to, let me tell you, if you can get close to God, a lot of what you're trying to deal with and letting go of the past, it's just going to melt off of you. If you get into good, healthy relationships, some of those old relationships, come on, are just going to need to fade away and as you replace those with good relationships. If the bad word from the enemy has been bringing you down and discouraging you and depressing you, and every day you hear it in your ear when you wake up and at night when you go to bed, you need to replace it with the Word of God and get in the Word of God at the beginning of the day and the end of the day and get something good going in you. Come on, fill yourself with so much good that you're so overflowing, your cup's overflowing with so much good that there ain't any room. The bad just kind of spills out, right? In fact, they say that's why some people have issues, is there's this love tank in them, because they're filling, you're filling their bodies full of Twinkies. I don't know why I'm on Twinkies today, y'all. If y'all want me to, I'll change the illustration to chocolate cream filled Krispy Kreme donuts, if that helps. But anyhow, I'm just saying, we fill ourselves, but if you fill yourself with the good stuff, come on, somebody, the grapes, the apples, the bananas, the good stuff, you know, there's not room for that bad stuff. And you feel so much better. And you have peace. So number six, press forward in faith. Let me give you this point. Write this down. God wants to settle your past so he can give you a bright future. Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you, and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Look at what it goes on to say. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with, there it is, that passion, with all your heart, with all your heart. And so with perseverance, we're running to him, and he says, I can be found. There is a place. There is a place of peace. There's a place of victory where you're not just barely making it through life and barely surviving, but now you're thriving. I'm telling you, that place exists. It exists when we follow him, follow this subscription that Paul gives us, and move forward in faith. But look at this. God wants to settle your past so he can give you a bright future. Would you bow your heads with me? I don't know what needs to be settled. I think we live in a day where a lot of people are unsettled. Relationships are in conflict. Things internally in our heart are just unsettled, not resolved, still there, still looming. Not been taken care of. But there's a place where all that can be settled and resolved. And I know there's things for us to do. There may be phone calls for us to make and actions for us to take. But really, the settling has to start in your heart. And that settling can only happen in your heart by discovering personally and appropriating personally what Jesus settled for you 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross and he declared, it is finished. Meaning everything that you have to deal with, everything you face has already been taken care of. It's finished. It's accomplished. It's done. It's over. It's settled. It's settled. And all you have to do is simply receive what he's done for you by simply doing this. And that's receiving his forgiveness, receiving his help, receiving his presence in your life. And so it may be just one area that's pulling you down and holding you back, hindering you. Whatever that is for you, maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord, or you have had, but you know it's not where it needs to be today, if you be honest. But today, what I'd like to do is give you a wonderful opportunity of settling things by simply leading you in a prayer, not having you come to the front or stand up or embarrassing you. But right where you're seated, I'd just like to lead you in a prayer. And if you're watching online, you can join us in this. But that's you today, and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to surrender. I need some things settled. Would you slip up a hand? I just want to know who I'm praying with, and you can put it right back down. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just slip up a hand. I bless you. Good job. Good job. If you're here today or if you're watching online, I invite you. Join us. Pray with us. Come on. Everybody pray together out loud for support of those that need to pray this. I'm just helping you with the words. Just simply mean it. Pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, thank you for taking care of everything. My past, my present, and my future. For every problem I face or ever will face, you have taken care of it. For every mistake, and yes, every sin, you've taken care of it. For every debt I owe, you've already paid it on the cross for me. So today I accept your payment for me. I turn from my way. I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new on the inside. Today I give you my life. I surrender. Come in. Make me new. And with all of my heart, I will follow you. God, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, needed to pray it, and prayed it in faith. Lord, I pray over them. God, I pray, God, your blessings upon their life. God, may they know you. May they know your peace. May they know the joy of following you. May they know the strength that comes only from you as they continue to follow you. And I celebrate their decision, the best decision of their life. For those here, for those watching online, God, I pray your blessings upon them. God, whether they're watching this live or watching it later, God, you hear that prayer. You've honored that prayer, and all things are brand new. Thank you for that today. And God, I pray for every person, Lord. Even now, Lord, may this message be dedicated to those who may be discouraged, worn, weary, ready to give up. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you, O Lord, would instill in them this thing of perseverance, this God-given thing, Lord, within them that causes them to look up, look beyond the circumstances, and know there's a God that loves them and is going to see them through. I thank you for doing that in them and through them in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.